What most people think is fat loss is really nothing but weight loss. And then people who are fixated on weight loss think that it's all fat loss, and that's not the case. Let's go!
The most energetic, fit, and stress-resilient people on the planet practice daily habits to keep their hormones balanced, their gut healthy, and their muscles and mind strong. Welcome to That Fitness Couple. We're Mike and Corey Beth Lepowski, founders of Pure Physique.
This podcast is designed to provide you with everything we've discovered and continue to discover about nutrition, training, and lifestyle. Today, we all live hectic lives.
So we've made it our mission to make your fitness time efficient and to build you up. Hope you share and enjoy. Let's dive into today's episode. Let's go!
Today, we're talking everything fat loss. In fact, we're answering some very specific questions, namely, you know, how can I speed up my fat loss? What's the most important factor for fat loss? How do I overcome plateaus? What about trying to maintain my muscle size while I'm trying to lose fat? And maybe more specifically, how do I lose fat there? And we're talking belly fat, fat around the hips, around the thighs, around the tries, right? All those key areas. So before we dive in, I think the good place to start is around expectations. I always like to begin here because I think most people have this expectation that when they go on their fat loss journey, that it is going to be this nice, linear, losing weight every single day because I'm doing all the right things. And it rarely looks like that. In fact, it never looks like that. It always looks more like a roller coaster. And, you know, we spend a good part of our job when we're working with people on coaching them through fat loss, trying to explain what's happening at certain periods of time, because you would expect to just see this consistent result if you're doing the things consistently. And it just doesn't seem to work out that way.
No, I mean, I think back to when we were bodybuilding and I would get on the scale after a perfect day of eating. And the next morning I'd get on expecting to see that half a pound drop and I'm up 0.2. And I'm like, what? You know, like, and it was the biggest mind game through that period of time that honestly I'm so grateful for, because it's such a great way to explain to clients. It's not going to be a straight down, straight down, straight down. It's up, down, all around. And of course, there's memes all over the internet that are like, you know, people think success looks like this, or people think weight loss looks like that. And this is what it actually looks like. And it's a scribble. And we see that. But let's just be real. We still have this expectation that ours is not going to be like that. And it's just not true.
No. And the reason why is once we start to understand, you know, what goes into fat loss or why there are all these fluctuations in your weight. I mean, let's just separate the two things for a moment. You know, what most people think is fat loss is really nothing but weight loss. And then people who are fixated on weight loss think that it's all fat loss, and that's not the case. The truth of the matter is that, you know, your body weight is made up of multiple factors, but the three that we're always most focused on are changes in your body water, changes in your fat mass, and then changes in your lean mass or your muscle mass. And once you start to understand that and realize that what fluctuates on a day-to-day basis is changes in water weight, but what we tend to see over the long term are those changes in muscle mass and or fat mass, then we can get a clearer picture of what's going on. Because when we do get caught up on what we see on the scale from day to day, right? Most people have that challenge of, or I shouldn't say the challenge, I should say the frustration of seeing changes day to day. They automatically think that they're doing something wrong or that this isn't working. And it's just because there's just not that recognition that those daily fluctuations can be influenced by anything from your sleep the night before, the way that you ate the day before, your caffeine consumption, your water consumption, your stress. All of those things really play a role in those daily fluctuations. And it just means that your body is trying to find a balance. And usually that's a balance in water. I mean, we are 70 to 75% water. So, you know, it makes perfect sense that you're going to have fluctuations. And when they do happen, if you're 70 to 75% water, those fluctuations are going to be pretty volatile in one direction or the other. But when we're looking at changes in fat mass, I mean, it takes about 3,600 calories thereabouts to lose a pound of fat. And it takes an extremely great amount of energy to just even put on a pound of muscle.
Yeah. Well, and for those people thinking, like, hold on a second, if I can just cut 3,600 calories, I'll lose a pound of fat. You're not doing that in a day, and you're realistically not doing that in two. You know, it's over the course of a week plus is more realistic for that deficit to happen, you know, and then it's building the consistency of that. So I love this conversation because I used to sit on the other side of it and be like, what? Why isn't my weight going down? You know, and I know that I would just want to interject this. I think this is so important. We're at a time, I think, in life, the world, and just the temperature of things that it's really not about fat loss, but it is about fat loss. It's about having more energy. It's about having more confidence. It's about feeling better. I mean, I literally had 7 phone calls yesterday of people coming into our New York studio that are like, I just want to be strong. I want to have muscle mass. One woman, she's like, I'm really concerned about my bone density. Somebody else is like, I just want to be able to play with my kids and grandkids as they get older. You know, so it's all of those other things, but it all relates back to our body composition, which is the composition of your water, your fat mass, and your lean mass.
And, you know, to that point, we've said before that maybe the more important thing is muscle gain versus fat loss. But yet at the same time, you know, listen, we all love aesthetics to some degree. We all want to look better. And we know that losing body fat is the key to doing that. I mean, sure, you can put on muscle, but also if you're not losing that fat around the muscle, there is still going to be that frustration that I don't look the way that I want to look. And that's really what this conversation is about. Now, you brought up a really good point with regards to being in a caloric deficit. And it's true that the most important thing for fat loss is to be in a caloric deficit. However, this idea that it is as simple as calories in and calories out is flawed. And the reason why it's flawed is because there are a multitude of factors that people do not even take into consideration when it comes to what affects the energy or the calories coming in, as well as the energy or calories coming out. So I want to just quickly go over a few of those things, because I think once we start to see that, then we recognize, oh, wow, there is a lot more to this. So on the calories inside of the equation, I mean, the factors that go into that are our appetite. It's going to be the foods we consume or the calories we consume. It's going to be the calories our body absorbs. And then, of course, there is the psychological aspects of this, or the psychological factors. And what's interesting is that when we look at all of these, I mean, that is just a macro level look on the calories inside of the equation. But if we were to break it down into the micro, we're talking about fluctuations in our hormones, which are going to dictate these differences in our appetite or our cravings for that matter. These same fluctuations in our hormones are going to what influences the foods that we eat. And then the foods that we eat, the more addictive they are, what are the chances that we're over-consuming calories? And maybe even unknowingly. I mean, we know that it's really, really difficult for people to predict or to eyeball exactly how many calories they're taking in. But to even take it a step further, for all of my MyFitnessPal people out there who love to track and measure all this stuff, research is really clear that you can be up to 50% off with how many calories you're actually consuming, even if you're tracking. Yeah. So really trying to figure out this calories in end of the spectrum is really difficult.
Could we just explain why? There's a couple factors. First of all, there's our own ability to weigh, measure, you know, take out a measuring spoon or a scale to see exactly how much we're consuming. But then the other factor, and I think the bigger problem is user input. You know, I remember going and putting in chicken breast once, and it said like 20 grams of carbs. And I remember early on in our bodybuilding journey, I'm like, there's no carbs in chicken, you know, but someone had put that information in. And because it's great that there's such a vast library of food to choose from because of user input, there's also user error. And so we can be so perfect, you know, and we could still screw it up.
Yeah. And listen, even if you're eating good, healthy foods, we've said before on that calorie absorption side of the equation, what you have going on is certain foods, you're going to absorb more of those calories. Specifically, you know, protein, we only absorb 75 to 80% of those calories. However, with carbohydrates and fats, we're absorbing 95 to 100% of those calories.
I'm laughing. I'm like, so when you eat a Pop-Tart, you absorb all those calories.
Absolutely. But then to take it a step further, you have the processing of foods. And this is like not a knock on food processing. All food is processed to some degree, but the more processed a food is, the more calories you absorb. And there was a piece of research that was done on peanuts, comparing peanuts to peanut butter. And they showed that eating the whole peanut, your body only absorbed about, I think it was 80% of those calories, compared to the peanut butter, you were absorbing 100% of those calories. And now you're talking about the same food. I mean, you turned around the ingredients on that peanut butter jar and it was still just peanuts and salt.
They're mashed down. It's easier to digest, you know? It makes sense.
And so that's why sometimes it is so difficult. So just using that peanut example for a moment, let's just say you are that person who is tracking everything in MyFitnessPal and you're accounting for every calorie. And every day you have peanuts. But then one day you decide, you know what? Instead of peanuts, I'm going to have peanut butter. And you account for the same amount of calories. But the difference is that you're absorbing more of those calories. And that's going to make a difference at the end of the day, because if we need to be in a deficit and we're basing it off of simply how many calories we consume and not taking into account where those calories are coming from, it's going to make a big difference.
Yeah. And that may seem so minuscule. I know someone's listening like, seriously, like I need to worry about 50 or 100 calories, but it's to paint a bigger picture for how many errors could come into play when we're looking at something like MyFitnessPal and really considering the foods that we're eating. And at the end of the day, what our goals are, you know?
And just, it shows how difficult it is. You know, it's not as clear cut as everybody would like to make it out to be.
Well, I think an example that we always used to give clients is that, you know, losing weight, people think it's like a scale, right? I eat a cheeseburger, I gain that weight. I don't eat food or I have a salad and I'm going to lose weight. And we know that that's not true just from personal experience. You know that that's not true. But we view it more like a thermostat. And I remember giving this example several episodes back that our weight loss is far more similar to a thermostat in a house where, you know, it's maybe 65 degrees. You're like, ooh, it's kind of chilly in here. I'm going to turn it up to 72 in the winter, you know, and it takes a period of time for it to get up there. And it may get up to 73 in order to settle back down at 72. But then you have people opening doors and changing things. And that's just life. It's stresses, it's sleep, it's water, it's all of the things that go into us. We're dynamic creatures. And so it could not be as simple as what I eat is what I gain and what I don't eat is what I don't gain.
No. And then, you know what, like, let's just touch on this psychological factor for a moment. I mean, if you're not getting enough sleep, if you're under a tremendous amount of stress, how do you think that's going to affect your appetite?
I'll tell you. I'll tell you how that affects your appetite, because I know from firsthand experience. In fact, last night I stayed up past my 9:30 bedtime till 10 o'clock so that I could fold the kids' clothes so that they had them for the next day. But I'm like, oh my gosh. And as I just walked through the kitchen, making sure everything was all, like, you know, wiped and picked up, I'm like, wow, how many nights I spent time in here because I stayed up beyond my bedtime. So now, you know, my last meal was at 6, 7 o'clock. And now I'm hungry because now it's 11 o'clock midnight. And what would I do? I would go and eat pretzels and peanut butter, and I would dip the pretzels in the peanut butter. And I'd be like, okay, like, that's going to make me, like, feel better so I could do work and be productive, which I've adopted a philosophy that's, I know this is off topic, but it's important. Nothing productive happens after 10 o'clock. Just go to bed. Your sleep is so important. It's important for your body's recovery, and it's definitely important for your metabolism, and it's important for your fat loss. It's important for everything. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, how many nights did I do that? And then you wake up and you feel like that food is still in your belly and you don't feel good and your appetite is all jacked up. It has everything to do with it.
I'm kind of laughing at your parent perspective of it now, that nothing good happens after 10 o'clock at night, whereas probably about 20 years ago, it was nothing good happens after 1 a.m.
Yeah.
it was because you were already out and about enjoying yourself and then realizing, like, I should probably go home, but I'm not going to.
Once you
and
cross into your 30s.
Ever happens.
Yeah.
Nothing good ever happens. All right. Last point, though, I do want to make on this energy inside of that equation is, yes, so psychologically, if you're not getting enough sleep, if you're overstressed, it's going to affect your appetite. And then that immediately impacts the food choices that we're making. And now if we're not making good food choices, or we find ourselves snacking because we're just in that place, it's going to be very difficult to control for this side of the equation. So that said, let's move over to the other side of the equation, which is the energy out aspect of this. And you know, most people, when they talk about energy in and energy out, the only two things you ever hear them talk about is diet and exercise. It's just diet and exercise.
Eat less and exercise more. Yeah,
and it just doesn't work. I mean, it works from a very fundamental point of view, but in practice, and more specifically over time, it tends not to work that well. And the reason being is that the factors that are going to control our energy out are, yes, exercise, but also just our overall metabolism. You know, that's going to be a major factor here, as well as the thermic effect of food. Again, the food that you take in, does your body have to burn significantly more calories to break down, absorb, and utilize that food? And so we want to eat foods that have a high thermic impact on us. But then the last factor, and probably the most interesting, is what's normally referred to as NEAT. And NEAT is an acronym for non-exercise activity thermogenesis. And it's the calories that we burn that are not intentional, meaning how many calories do you burn at work? If you're at a sedentary job, probably not that many. If you're a laborer, you're probably burning through quite a few. If you are a fidgety type of person, you're the type who just can't sit still, you know, you're always sitting at your desk and you're tapping your foot, right, because you hear the music playing in the background, or you always got to get up and move around. If you're a person who spends a lot of time on the phone, like let's say you're a realtor, are you a person who sits at the desk talking on the phone, or are you the person who has to pace everywhere while you're talking on the phone? But we find that that is actually where the most significant amount of calories are actually burned throughout the day.
It's crazy. Just go back really quickly to a food that has that higher thermic effect. What would examples of food be?
Well, it actually ties back to what we were saying on the other side of the equation, the energy in, and you have the protein foods that have a very high thermic effect, whereas foods that are heavily processed, refined carbohydrates, right, have less thermic effect.
So steak over goldfish.
Absolutely, every time. No questions there. But very much like that energy inside of the equation, on the energy out, you have a lot of these interactions between all of these things. Because if your exercise, right, your exercise choices, your duration, your intensity, that is going to directly influence your metabolism. So we can talk about, oh, this form of exercise burns more calories than that form of exercise. But what's more important is how that exercise overall is going to impact your metabolic rate. You know, if we're building muscle, it's going to help elevate our metabolic rate. If we're doing exercise to the point at which we are overtraining, that's going to diminish our metabolic rate.
Plus you're hungry.
So great, you know, you burn 600 calories in this workout and you're doing that 6 days a week. However, if your body's not able to recover from that, then guess what happens? Your metabolic rate lowers. So you're not doing yourself a service. In fact, all you're doing is trading in one way of burning calories for another. Wow. Whereas your body would have naturally burned through more calories as you maintain your muscle mass, as your body is in the healthiest state it could be in. Instead, you diminish your metabolism, you diminish your health to some degree, and you just burn up those extra calories through your activity. So it's really interesting when we start looking at this, and this is why it's not so cut and dry. And then, of course, you know, your non-activity thermogenesis. Is that going to be influenced by your exercise and your metabolism and all these other factors? Absolutely. But what really makes this confusing for people... ...is that these two sides of the equation, right? These two sides of the scale, the energy in, the energy out, they also interact with one another. So what you do on one side is going to affect what happens on the other side.
And this is why most people give up.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm going to go somewhere with that. I think that that is actually a really good segue.
Hey, we hope you're enjoying our show and finding it valuable. If you could do us a quick favor, it would mean the world to us. Please take a moment to rate and review our podcast on your favorite platform. Your reviews help us reach more people and share our message. Plus, we'd love to hear your feedback. Thanks for being awesome and supporting us. Now, back to the show.
One of the questions that people always ask is, well, how do I lose fat in this area of my body? And usually it's like, how do I lose belly fat? How do I lose, you know, this fat around my thighs and my hips? And the truth of the matter is that the most important factor when it comes to fat loss is time. It's you have to be able to take the time to allow yourself to gradually burn through fat. Because as we said early on, fat loss is not a fast process. And, you know, as much as we hear a lot of mythical things said about exercise and about nutrition, the one that actually holds true is that we should probably not see a loss of any more than 1 to 3 pounds per week. And that's because it helps us to maintain and protect our metabolism. If we're losing at a slower rate or the rate at which our body can only burn through fat, it's not as fast as we would like to make it out to be.
I like how you say mythical.
It's funny. It's like a unicorn.
It's a mythical unicorn.
It's a unicorn.
Yeah, but you know what? I think that that's so important too. I mean, I remember when I would lose a pound or two, I'd be like, oh my gosh, I lost a pound of fat or I lost 2 pounds of fat. You're not. You're losing water weight, you know?
And well, hopefully at some point, you're only losing that as fat.
Correct.
But I think what...
In the beginning, though, is what I'm saying.
In the beginning.
Day one, day two of a new nutrition plan. Some people call it a diet. I hate that word. But a nutrition plan, yeah. I mean, it's not fat that you're losing.
No, the initial... When people see that big drop in the first 1 to 2 weeks, usually that is a lot of water weight. And listen, we also have to, you know, distinguish between the person who is obese and has a weight to lose and the person who is maybe, you know, 10% away from where they want to be, right? That's a big difference. But both will experience pretty much the same thing, which is a drop in water weight. The only difference being is that the person who's obese, as they're losing more body fat, that fat also holds water. So they may continue to see bigger drops over a period of few months before it starts to slow down. I just think it's insane that we get so frustrated that we only saw a loss of a half a pound this week or a pound. Because if you're truly losing body fat, I mean, it's a significant amount of fat that you will notice in your clothes. You'll notice it on your body. And I think that's what we should always be after is this change in fat and not necessarily the scale. But the scale does become a good way of just tracking if whether or not you're progressing. Just, I think our preferred way of tracking it is not worrying about what the scale says today versus yesterday versus tomorrow, but rather, if we take your average body weight for the week, what happens? And if we're seeing an average drop of that half a pound, pound, maybe a maximum of 3, then we're moving in the right direction.
I think that that's so valuable. And you gave like the literal mechanical breakdown of how to calculate that. So for the person that's like, what does that mean? The average, literally Sunday through Saturday, you're going to take your body weight. You're going to write down your weight Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, add it up. Divided by 7. We're going to do some like third grade math here. And that's going to give you your average for week 1. Then do it again week 2. Add up all your weight, divided by 7. That's your average weight for week 2. And what you want to do is from week 1 to week 2, like, oh my gosh, look at that. It's down 0.25 pounds or it's down 0.5 pounds or whatever is happening. And again, you're going to have ups and downs. I love that we show clients charts of actual people's fat loss so that they're like, oh my gosh, like, yeah, it's up, it's down, it's all around. But I think that that's such a beautiful way to not worry about the day-to-day because people get so mental about I'm up 0.2 pounds. I'm like, you could literally go have a bowel movement and that could be gone. But
you could be minus a half a pound after that.
But we'll let that ruin our day and we'll go make poor choices because we don't feel good about that. And it's just not true. So I love that we're having this conversation.
I like that. If you're using an app where you're tracking your body weight, it will usually chart it out. And what you want to view on that chart is over time, does it look like a stock market chart in reverse, right? Does it look like a housing chart in reverse where, yes, there's going to be daily ups and downs, but if I'm looking at the slope of that chart, is it trending in the direction that I want to see it go? And as long as we're always trending in that direction, then again, we're doing the things that we're supposed to be doing and we do not need to get caught up in the day to day.
We always say, bring the data, not the drama.
That's right, you know? Sister. All right. But to continue on that conversation, though, about losing fat in a specific area, you know, the important part of this, as we mentioned, is time. It's going to take time because the first place that you put body fat on is usually the last place you're going to see it come off. And there is that frustration of, well, I just want to see it come off in that area. Well, that's not how it works. You know, you can want it to happen that way, but that is not how biology works. You know, your physiology, the way we are set up is so that our bodies can manage things that are changing from day to day. And so because of that, it takes time for our body to make these adaptations. So as you're losing fat, as you're making the changes to your nutrition, to your exercise, there's an adaptation that needs to occur. And whether we like it or not, that's just the way it is. So you really need to play the long game when it comes to fat loss. And I know that we experience it all the time with clients who are like, I'm just ready to throw in the towel. I want to give up. I've been doing this for months and I'm still not there. But have you been moving in the right direction? Yes. But when is this going to come off? Not yet.
Oh my gosh. You know, I have the best analogy.
Go for it.
Oh my gosh. Right? Because all the time women come in, I want to lose belly fat. I want to lose butt fat. I want to lose whatever fat. Like, you don't get to pick where the fat gets lost. And what we want to simultaneously be doing is building our muscle, you know, not in a way that you're going to get bulky, but building our muscle. So we have, you know, that nice muscle tone. And then we want to be losing fat. So as the muscle begins to appear, the tone, then the fat starts to disappear. And it's kind of like an ocean tide. It's like the beach at high tide. You can move all those shells and rocks around on the ocean floor, right? And you're like, okay, like, I know that they're different. That's like working in the gym and building the muscle. But until that tide, that water recedes very slowly, that's your fat loss. You're not going to see the tone or the muscle until the fat is gone, but it's a slow process. You can't just make the tide go out 3 feet. It's going to take hours in order for it to eventually reach low tide. And if we can think about our fat loss in that way, I think we can be a bit more patient with ourselves.
And patience is not just a virtue, it is necessary in this case. I can remember when I first started out as a personal trainer, you know, one of the early decisions I made was, you know what, I'm going to get six-pack abs. Now, to that point, I had already been training for 9 years, lived in the gym 7 days a week, never had six-pack abs. And this was my motivation to step on a bodybuilding stage, because my mentality was, if I have a client come to me and ask, Mike, how do I get six-pack abs? I better know how to do it. But what I learned in that process was that it is less about the X's and O's, meaning managing just the calories in and calories out, and it's more about the commitment to the goal. If I did not stay committed to that goal, there is no way I would have gotten there. If I did not have that goal out in front of me of, hey, you're going to be stepping on the bodybuilding stage, you know, I needed that leverage in order to push myself to stick to doing the things each and every day. And this to me is maybe more important than anything else, is if you're not willing to stick to your goal, or as you say, protect the goal, if you're not protecting your goal, then you're not going to reach that goal. And I just find it really interesting when people say, I really want to lose this. It's like, how badly do you want to lose this? Because we can get so quickly thrown off by the dinners that we want to go out to, or the foods that we want to indulge in, or the things that we want to drink. And even though you say you have this goal, how well are you doing at protecting it? So why don't, I mean, you dive a little bit deeper into that. That's your wheelhouse. So
yeah, no, I love this concept. You know, the concept, I call it, it's goal setting versus goal keeping. And when we set a goal, we can say, I want to have six-pack abs. I want to be a multimillionaire. I want to have 3 vacations a year. You know, whatever the goal is, you know, then we look at actually keeping the goal. So all throughout our lives, we have all set goals. We've set multiple goals. But how many of those goals have we actually kept? And the analogy I like to think about is a soccer goalie. You know, they're the goal keeper. They are standing in front of this big, gigantic goal, and they are willing to do whatever it takes to protect that goal. They're going to throw themselves at a ball. They're going to roundhouse kick the soccer ball as it comes in. You know, they are literally going to look like a gymnast protecting that goal. And it's if we could take that concept and look at our own goal and say, wow, what am I doing to actually protect that goal that I've set? Because the danger in just setting goals and never keeping them is we're training our brain to not trust ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're training our brain to say like, oh yeah, I want that, but it's okay if it doesn't happen. That's really important to me, but you know what? This is actually more important right now. You know what? That date and that wedding that I got to go to or I got to be in, that's incredibly important for me to wear this dress, but you know what? I could always rent something else or borrow something else or whatever. You know, it's we don't want to train ourselves to not be trusting of ourselves. And so by keeping the goal, we are looking at what are my triggers? You know, what's going to come up? What's going to maybe make me feel, because feelings tend to get in our way more than anything else. Like, I feel like having some chocolate. Like, okay, but is that doing anything, doing everything that it takes to protect the goal? And at the end of the day, it depends on how important the goal is to you. You know, if it's not an incredibly important goal, don't set it.
I mean, I couldn't have said it better, which is why I didn't. I think it's just so important, and it drives home that if you're sitting there saying, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to achieve, you know, it really needs to be at the top of your priority list. If you're going to say, I want six-pack abs, or I'll do anything to lose this body fat around my hips, then you really need to keep that at top of mind at all times. You know, and that's difficult to do because, listen, most of our audience, right? You are parents, you're working jobs, you have multiple things to take care of. And in the midst of it all, you're trying to enjoy your life. And that becomes the challenge is, are you going to be able to manage this goal along with it? And I don't want to discourage anybody from it, but it's just that you have to be real about it.
Well, I think honestly, people always ask, like, are you going to compete in bodybuilding again? You know, and it's for Mike, you reached pro status, pro level. You're like, I'm good. I'm retiring. I'm hanging up my hat. I'm done. You know, it's something that I think about. But honestly, when I look at the priorities and the boundaries that I've set in my life right now, there's no way that I'm going to go and train to get on a bodybuilding stage. You know, could I set that goal and start working towards it and give up on it and then maybe start again and give up on it? Like, I don't even want to do that to my brain and to myself and to my own self-trust, that it's like, that's not even on the table for me right now. And I just want to say how good that feels to be like, when someone asks, are you going to compete in bodybuilding again? Not right now. You know, I don't have to give any more answer than that.
No, but you know what?
It's important.
You know, to use a personal example, you had also mentioned recently about maybe wanting to try to get six-pack abs. And you're like, I don't even know if I can get them, but... And I think, though, it's a real conversation, right? Because even you, I mean, most women are going to look at you and be like, oh, you're fine. You don't need to do that. But you also have sort of set it as a personal challenge. And, you know, there's two ways to go about this.
I was so not prepared for you to put that out. I thought you were going to talk about how my goal was to give up coffee, which I have now successfully done for 11 days.
We're done with that. We're moving on to the bigger goal. And yes, I'm going to put you on the spot just a little bit.
Oh, man.
No, and
this is my accountability.
This is though, a real conversation. And I think people need to hear it because there are probably two different approaches to this particular goal. The one is, I am dead set on doing this, and I am going to set aside everything else to make sure I achieve that. And I could probably speak for you when I say that I don't think you're there right now, that you're not willing to do that because there's so much other stuff that we have to manage and to focus on. However,
not looking at you.
That is, you're not liking this conversation at all.
No, it's important for somebody to hear.
Let me offer up the alternative. The alternative is we continue to focus on all of the little things that we know contributes to reaching that goal. And maybe we're not doing it all out every single day. However, we know that if we continue to build upon it and if we continue to do it diligently over time, we move closer and closer to achieving that end. And it doesn't mean that, you know, because it didn't come out picture perfect of what you imagine, but yet you're like 70% there that you're not happy about it. It's like, you can be happy about that. You can be content because you can know that, listen, I didn't push myself to an extent that was unreasonable for a period of time to just simply achieve this goal and let it go. I actually lived my life. I actually did the things that I wanted to do. I did this in a sustainable way, which I think is important, but it's just going to take a little bit more time to get there. And I think that's where people need to also understand where they are in that process. Are you dead set on doing this in the next 6 months, or are you okay achieving that goal or 70% of that goal, but doing it gradually over time?
I know this conversation is about fat loss, but in relation to goals, because that is a goal for a lot of people, I want to go there on the six-pack abs. I'm also going to brain dump out, and I encourage you, the listener, to do this also. Brain dump out your goals. Another goal of mine that he's going to laugh at is I would love to foster Guiding Eyes for the Blind dogs. Like, I would love to have a foster dog, spend time with that dog, and then, you know, be able to give that dog to another family. It's just not in our life schedule right now to have a dog. We don't have a dog. My other big goal was getting our kids skiing, getting them on the slopes and doing that. And so when I look at those three goals, six-pack abs, fostering a dog, and going skiing, it was like, what is the most important thing to me for me right now? And it was skiing, like hands down 100%, so much so that the kids' Christmas gift were ski passes. family said, what can we get for your kids? I told my parents, you can get their equipment rental for the season. I told your parents, they're going to need this snow pants, glove warmers. I mean, literally, we had everything we needed. And it was just that little chipping away, that milestone to get to the goal. And we're at a place now that our kids are skiing, which is so exciting. So I'm looking at this dog thing and I'm looking at the six-pack abs thing. And I think a lot about the way we operate our business using the EOS system or entrepreneur operating system. And it's like, okay, this was a short-term important goal. These over here are more long-term goals. And if it's not until the kids maybe are in middle and high school that we foster a dog, fantastic. If it's not until they move out of the house, they're still going to be dogs to foster. You know, it's not something that I'm going to put all my eggs into a basket. But when we look at this other goal here, what I'll say is slowly over the past 14 months, I've moved towards this goal of six-pack abs. I always struggled with having a little bit of extra fat around my midsection. And I had the mentality of like, I can just never achieve six-pack abs. But going from a very plant-based, salad-heavy diet to now being more primal animal carnivore, I'm like, holy cow, it's the first time in my life my stomach is flat. And I'm not having all these crazy like GI issues. And so I'm like, whoa, maybe this is possible. You know, so over that 14-month period, I'm in a much better place where I love getting ready in the morning in a sports bra and pants. You know, I don't feel embarrassed to have you come into the bathroom. Like, I feel really good about that. So I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, what's possible? So I will decide probably after the skiing season is over, like this is now an important time for me in the spring to really focus on that because I probably want that for summer. So it's really thinking realistically, it's mapping your stuff out, it's choosing priorities because at the end of the day, you will always be too busy for what's not important. You know, I hate when I get the phone call, people are like, I know you're so busy. I'm like, I am not too busy for you. I am not too busy for my husband, my children, my parents, my sister, my sister-in-laws. You know, I'm not too busy for that ever. I will always make time for that. And I just want to offer that to someone else. Like, you will always be too busy for what's not important. And you'll always find time for what is.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. And what I love about this concept that you brought up EOS, and it just made me think that, you know, sometimes we're doing the things every single day, and we are maybe slowly at a snail's pace moving towards that ultimate goal that we want to see. But all of a sudden, one day you recognize that I'm 70, 80% there. And now this quarter, this is going to be the quarter that I double down on this goal. And that all the other things that I were working on move aside. The other big long-term goals that I have, those are going to go aside just for these 90 days. And you can really just push towards it. That's awesome. All right. So let's kind of close this out with just answering two more questions. One is about how do I overcome plateaus? Because those are going to happen. And then the other one is around maintaining muscular size, making sure that we're not losing muscle while we're losing body fat.
Can I offer something on this plateau? It's another word I hate. I mean, I'm so linguistic when it comes to words. When people say like, oh, I hit a plateau, I'm like, hold on a second. So your weight was here and we dropped some weight. So your weight is here and now you're here. Are you at a plateau or are you maintaining the progress? You know, and I know when it goes on a long period of time, we want to see it drop again. And there's things that Mike is going to talk about. But I just want to change our mindset a little bit on how we think about these things. Because when we say plateau, it sounds like you failed. Mm. But when we say, hang on, I've entered a stage of maintenance, we can actually feel proud about that.
I mean, that to me was worth this entire podcast for somebody to hear, because it's true that we associate, you know, that period of maintaining as being a negative thing. And it's not a negative thing. And it honestly, it very much ties back to what we were talking about earlier when we discussed the two different energy in, energy out sides of the scale. And that is, there is a period of adaptation that has to occur. And maybe that's what's happening during that quote plateau or that period of maintaining, is your body is making these adaptations. But to push that point further, as far as adaptations go, one of the adaptations that our body makes when we are constantly striving to try to push our fat loss, push our weight loss, is that our hormonal levels do decrease. We have a decrease in leptin, and that will trigger our body to hold on to fat just a little bit more than maybe we want it to. And there are ways to counteract that. So it's recognizing that since we already know fat loss is not linear, we should not treat our approach to it as being linear. That the way to overcome these periods of maintaining or plateaus is to have periods where we allow ourselves to eat a little bit more. And I'm not talking about cheat meals. What I mean is being very very intentional about raising our caloric intake, still eating the right foods, but eating more of them, because then we allow our hormones to get back into balance if we've been pushing them to their limit, basically. In order to overcome these plateaus, it's better to view our patterns of eating more like a zigzag versus a linear pattern. And that zigzag is simply, I am going to push myself hard to get my calories down and to eat the right foods, but then also I'm going to take a step back, whether that's weekly, bi-weekly, once a month. You know, the closer you're getting to your goal, honestly, the more frequently you need to do this. In fact, when we were working with competitors, one of the strategies was as they started losing at a faster rate or they were losing more body fat, we'd actually increase the frequency in which they would increase their calories just to give their hormones the rest that they basically needed to get them back into balance. I shouldn't say rest because your hormones are never at rest. They are always working, but it's at what level are they working? Are they operating at the optimal level, or have we pushed ourselves so much with overtraining and undereating to the point at which now we're, again, suppressing some of those hormones or overactivating others? And so taking this zigzag approach, number one, I think psychologically it's a little bit easier because we don't have to be so fixated every single day on just being at this low level. We can give ourselves that chance to eat a little bit more, enjoy the foods that we're eating, and as I said, give our body what it needs in order to proceed forward.
It's kind of like skiing, you know? There are very few people, myself included, that like to go top of the mountain to bottom, no stops, you know? It's like, I just want to ski. But for our kids, you know, it's we get down to a certain part in the trail and they're literally zigzagging across the trail and then we stop and we recollect, how you doing? Are you good? Okay. That's your plateau and your fat loss, you know, and then you get back on the trail and you go down a little bit further and then you stop off over here, you know, and there's a point where you probably break for a snack or lunch, you break for something, you know, if we can think about all the natural patterns in life. You don't go to Everest and climb straight to the top. You got to hike to base camp and you hang out there for a period of time. And then you go up again and you hang out there. You camp out. You don't just go for the summit. Why would weight loss be any different?
I'm just laughing because my experience with boarding is I'm coming down the mountain. I catch an edge and I'm flat on my face. And then I have to get up and then cruise the mountain and then take a break and then catch another edge. And yeah, so.
We all fall down, Mike.
Yes. Absolutely. All right. So last one is around not losing size. And honestly, this one, I'm speaking mostly to my guys out there because, you know, this tends to be less of a concern for the ladies. Because listen, if you're getting a little bit smaller, I mean, that's all you really care about at the end of the day. Am I smaller? Am I tighter? You know, do I look more toned? Whereas for many guys, the concern is I work so hard to put on this weight, right? To get up to this weight and to be this size. And I don't want to lose it. And not recognizing that, listen, at the end of the day, you know, bodybuilding or the achievement of a certain look, it's all a mirage. It's fake. I mean, it really
is. It's mythical.
It's mythical. What I mean to say is this. In order to look your best, you have to get to be your leanest. You know, you're always, as a guy, you're going to look your most muscular when you're carrying less fat around your muscles. And that's a hard thing for many guys to accept because the moment they start losing fat and they start recognizing, ooh, this t-shirt is a little, you know, now it's hanging on me a little bit, all of a sudden it's like, oh, I'm not filling this thing out. I must be losing size. I must be losing muscle. When in fact, you know, the muscle's there. As long as you're losing fat the right way, you're not going to lose that. And you don't want to lose that. So the key factor for maintaining our muscle mass while we're losing fat is to do it slowly. And for those who are most concerned, you need to take the most long-term outlook that you could take to losing that fat. But also stop, and again, talking to you guys, stop associating the scale, right, with whether or not you're big or not big. Like nobody cares. If you walk around the beach, right, with your shirt off, nobody cares how much you weigh.
It's so true.
Like my biggest concern, I mean, I could associate this with fat loss and as well as strength. My goal was to walk around the beach looking like I could bench 300 pounds. I could care less if I can bench 300 pounds. And I know somebody out there is like, well, I care about benching. Great, you know, but that's the difference in goals. For me, from an aesthetic standpoint, I recognize that even though I might not fit into this certain shirt, or it might not be as fitted as it once was because I dropped this body fat. I know with that shirt off, I look significantly better. And so we really do, again, it goes back to being very clear about your goals and what you're willing to do to protect that goal. And once you understand that, then you could proceed forward with losing fat to look like your ultimate.
I love that. Well, that said, I mean, we want you to look and feel your best. And that's why we're here doing this. I mean, there's no other reason that we'd be here. That said, take advantage of our free challenge. It's just a kickstart into your fitness. It's going to give you some mindset, some nutrition, some workouts. It's down in the show notes. And then we've also linked some other cool resources like a 40% off your first order to Thrive Market, where you can get some of those good carnivore or primal based things that we enjoy, or even some condiments from Primal Kitchen, one of our favorite brands. And that said, we hope to catch up with you guys soon. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for tuning in. If you're a busy working parent like us, you understand the daily challenges. Our mission is to make exercise and nutrition simple and exciting, helping you and your family thrive even on the busiest days. We've got a fantastic free 5-day online challenge that's tailor-made for super busy people like you.
If you like a high-vibe workout environment with professional coaching, swing by one of our franchise studios for a free intro workout.
Check the show notes for details or head on over to purephysique.com when you have a moment. We know those moments are rare.
Until next time, lift weights, eat meat, and never forget, you were created on purpose for a purpose.
I mean, that to me was worth this entire podcast.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.